The city of Kandahar in southern Afghanistan was the last bastion of Taliban support and the last city to fall to anti-Taliban rebel forces. Taliban fighters and their Al-Qaeda allies made their final stand at the airport south of the city. U.S. Marines secured the Kandahar airport in early December and about a month later turned it over to U.S. Army and Air Force troops. More than 4,000 military personnel are stationed at the Kandahar airfield, and it's become the main base for American and allied military operations in the area. From Kandahar, NPR's Tom Jaltum reports.
Dozens of military cargo flights land each day at Kandahar, or more precisely, each night. The airport has officially been secure for about 10 weeks now, but U.S. commanders throughout this period have worried that holdout Taliban or Al-Qaeda fighters in the area might want to shoot down an incoming aircraft. So much of the air traffic is under the cover of darkness. When the airlift began, no lights at all were allowed on the runway. It made for difficult working conditions, says Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Gray, whose Air Force team manages airlift operations here.
So when it gets dark out here, no moonlight, it's very challenging. And our guys are not used to working in that kind of environment. With the blacked out operations and the engines running, all the noise, it was really challenging.
Conditions have eased a bit at the airfield lately. Most of the aircraft still arrive at night, but the ground crews get to use the lights on their forklifts these days. More of the airfield is secure. When the Marines were here, everyone stayed on the tarmac, camping out on the pavement for fear of landmines. The base is now broadened to include the surrounding area. The airfield now belongs to the 101st Airborne Division of the U.S. Army, though it's also home to Special Operations Forces, 750 Canadian troops, and military police units. About 175 captured Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters are detained here. Colonel Frank Rosinski, the base commander, works out of an office in the airport terminal, still worrying that Al-Qaeda terrorists might be lurking outside the perimeter.
I showed up about 8 or 9 January, and that was back when the air war was still going on pretty heavily. Right now we're sort of in a different phase, in a different transition. There is no air war, but you can tell that there's little probing actions, trying to find those weaknesses.
Once last month and again this month, U.S. forces at the Kandahar airfield came under fire from just beyond the perimeter, and Canadian forces patrolling near the base last Saturday reported the firing of two rockets toward the base. Under the circumstances, Colonel Wysinski's forces are prepared for combat, but apart from the isolated incidents, there hasn't been a lot of action here. Lieutenant Colonel James Marie commands the Aviation Task Force for the 101st here. 2 dozen Apache, Black Hawk, and Chinook helicopters.
We haven't taken fire since we've been here. I mean, we've heard reports from other aviators. We've had a crew at one point who thought they saw tracer rounds in a distance. But as far as actually taking fire towards, hostile act towards our aircraft, we haven't experienced that.
For the senior helicopter pilots here, Captain Jim Sine, for example, the absence of direct action, as it's called, is a good thing. Mostly.
Every soldier spends a part of their month wishing that they can go out there and, kill the enemy. But no one's let down by not having direct action involvements. I mean, I think the person would have to be slightly pathetic or insane if he actually was wishing to get in a direct action fight. But when the time comes, I mean, the soldiers are motivated to absolutely go out and do it.
In this new phase of the Afghanistan operation, U.S. personnel here still face danger, if only because the environment remains challenging. Several helicopters in Afghanistan have made crash landings in recent weeks, all under bad weather conditions. And Lieutenant Colonel Marie says he expects more problems.
Landing zones that are incredibly dusty. Snow in the higher elevations can cause whiteout. So I guess what I'm saying, there's plenty of potential there to have a mishap. I mean, every time these guys go out, they're superbly trained, but I always sit here and worry.
The political environment in Afghanistan can be just as hazardous. Colonel Wysinski, the base commander, says he has good relations with the local authorities in Kandahar, but he and others here were embarrassed this month when Kandahar officials publicly disputed the U.S. military's account of this month's sniping incident at the base. A local Afghan commander insisted there was no attack on the base and that the U.S. and Canadian soldiers were reacting to rounds fired innocently by local Afghan soldiers on patrol nearby. A base spokesman said that claim was beyond belief, but Colonel Wyszynski is advising his security forces to be careful to distinguish between genuine intruders and innocent bystanders.
But you also have Afghan villagers and children and people who are not involved in this conflict that are right on the outside, just a few hundred meters. And before you squeeze the trigger, you have to positively identify it as the actual perpetrator of the incident.
Enemies or no enemies, the Kandahar base continues to expand, with more than 4,300 U.S. and allied military personnel now deployed here. The base has become a tent city. There's now a post office here, and shower facilities, and a field kitchen is in the works. Virtually everything has to be flown in, and the runways are not in great shape. The bomb craters have had to be filled in by an engineering crew working with a backhoe and shovels. Sergeant Michael Spears spends all day, every day on the runway, filling craters in by hand, only to see them reopen a day or two later under the pressure of heavy air traffic.
We have between 10 to 30 planes land a night. And what it does, it blows out because this is dirt compacted, so it blows out. So each day we come in and repair it so we'll be able to land again, keep everything moving in and out.
The U.S. Army and Air Force personnel living on the Kandahar Air Base don't know how long they'll be here. Many are on 90-day rotations, but have been told they can expect to stay indefinitely. It's a rough life, sleeping on cots, eating ready-to-eat meals or MREs out of a plastic package, and able to phone home just once a week, 15 minutes a call.
We talk to them and say, hello, how are you? I'm fine, and don't worry. That's about all you really have time for.
Air Force Master Sergeant Marcus Reinhardt readily admits that the conditions at Kandahar are rough. He's tired of the MREs, the lack of contact with his family, and the drudgery.
Even though we haven't been here that long, this seems to be everything we've ever done. You get here and you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for so long, and when you finally start getting downtime, you sit back and you realize, I've only been here that long. Yeah. Little training and little dedication to duty, and you can make it through.
Dedication to duty is what keeps a lot of the personnel here going. The Al-Qaeda network may not be so evident here anymore, but Afghanistan is still the main front in the war on terrorism, and the Kandahar base remains the operational nerve center. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Kandahar.